Welcome back to our course, Living from a Place of Surrender. This is session 7, and I've looked forward to this session during the entire course. This is a very, very important and meaningful session. We've built ourselves to the point, and I know you've come along with me, that we can clearly see the predicament that the self, the Atman, the consciousness finds itself in. I'm present, unfortunately sometimes, but I'm present in here. And I see what's going on. And what's going on is not a world of my own making. It is a world that I've kind of inherited, surrounded around me, it came around me due to different actions that have nothing to do with me, such as the unfolding of the universe in front of me, and due to actions which I took anywhere from yesterday to God knows how many years ago, of not being able to handle the reality of the unfolding of life in front of me. As such, without realizing it, it was done at a very deep, not the ultra-conscious level, I sort of instinctually separated what I like from what I dislike of the different events that have happened to me, instead of letting them be teachers for me, instead of letting them come in and feed me and make me a wholer person. I started selecting what I wanted and what I didn't want. And in doing so, I held inside of me naturally the experience that I didn't want to have. I did a funny thing. Seems like if you didn't want to have the experience, you wouldn't want it inside of you. But somehow, nobody said it was intelligent. The experiences that I liked the least, the ones that bothered me the most, I stored inside of me. I kept them inside. I pushed them away so much that they didn't have the room to pass by me. Therefore, they stayed inside. It's my fault, but it's not a guilt thing. I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't awake. I was asleep. I was just acting automatically without any realization of what the consequences of my action were. As I said to you, likewise, though they are much fewer, there are things that happen to me that I really liked, and I don't want them to go away. I mean, exact situations, not even a person, something a person did once that I liked, right? And so I clung to it and kept it inside of me. That one, at least I understand why you would want to hold inside of you and keep reviewing. It's not healthy, we'll talk about that, but I understand it at least, what it was that made me happy once. I don't understand why you would want to keep inside of you that which bothers you. Something that happened 20, 30 years ago when you were little and it was disturbing to you. I understand things can be disturbing. I said that. We've talked about that. Everything has its nature. Everything has its vibration. Events, people, places, things, art, everything, animals, everything has its vibration. It has its nature. When that comes into you, you experience the fullness of that vibration. Nobody said it was only always comfortable. Nobody said it was always the nicest, most pleasant thing to experience. But we are saying it was real. It was the real event that was taking place. The storm really was that powerful. Somebody yelling at you really did feel that uncomfortable. Losing a friend because they moved away or somebody died is difficult. It isn't a pleasant experience when it comes in. But it is life. You hear me? It is life. It is part of life. It is part of reality. And nobody asked your opinion. Reality exists completely independent of you. It is the result of creation, whether you want to call it the result of phenomenal science or the result of this is the day the Lord hath made. I really don't care. To me, you will end up in the same place if you will listen to what we're teaching you. So basically, you have, and I said, I don't understand why if something happened when you were little, it was difficult as it came in, but if it stayed inside of you, that was up to you. The person's not still yelling at you. The storm is not still happening. You're still not seeing the snake. So whereas the experience of the snake was a reality in a moment, the moment you get to the point that that moment is over, and yet it's still happening inside of you, You have to own that, because there's nobody else responsible for that. You can't even blame God. You can say, God, why'd you show me a rattlesnake? Okay, fine, he showed you a rattlesnake, all right? But you can't sit there and say, God, why do you keep showing me a rattlesnake? He's not. You're doing it to yourself. You're the one who decided to keep inside of you that which was supposed to be a momentary, or at least short-term, Buddhists call it transient, a transient experience that you had. It is not going to stay. No electron has ever stayed in the same place for the history of creation. They move, everything moves, everything changes. So you have to own that you did this very, very silly thing of storing inside of you experiences that are over. We talked about this in terms of superimposing video images on your TV screen. Of course you don't want to do that. Of course you want to watch what you're watching when you're watching it, and then let it pass through. I don't know where it goes. I don't know where that image goes. I looked behind the TV once. There wasn't a whole bunch of them stacked up. It seems to just go away. It's very Zen. You understand that? It's there when it's there, and it's gone when it's gone. In fact, next time you watch TV, understand that's what Be Here Now is. All right? That image is there when it's there, and then it's gone, because it makes room for the next image. It is the same thing inside of you. The image of the reality of life comes in, but you kept it in. And by keeping it in, it superimposes. And what is going to happen, because it superimposes, it will distort the reality that you're experiencing next. Period. And there is no way it will not. You understand that? If that image is on top of that screen and then another image on top of that, don't tell me you can compensate for that. You cannot compensate for that. It is a distortion that is taking place. It's like if you put on dark glasses, the world turns dark. If you turn on rose-colored glasses, it turns rose-colored. If you put the image of the things you have stored inside of you, in front of you, which is where they're stored, they are going to distort what you're seeing. They will distort everything. And then, as I've discussed, we'll get into it now, you will spend the rest of your life trying to compensate for that distortion, trying to find something that, even though it's distorted, I want to find a movie that, even though I have a superimposed thing, it's bright enough, it's sharp enough, right, that it's able to see its way through the superimposing. Well, good luck, right? But you're now relegated your life to compensating for the problem you have inside. So a wise person starts to work this out. And that is the purpose of session 7, is we're going to talk about, okay, you're right, I admit it, I'm caught. I am caught in this web of this mess that I've made inside. Do I have to stay there? No. No. You are capable of completely and utterly liberating yourself from what is locking you up inside. And we're going to talk from two levels. One is how, and then in the next session, we're going to talk about what's it like if you do that work. What should your life be like? What was meant to be for you and for everybody? This is not just for you. It's everybody. Rich, poor, sick, healthy, old, young, period. It's all the same. There's no difference. So you start off with, yes, I have this. Don't forget, that's what we're talking about. Yes, I see that I have this stuff inside of me, and that it is causing my thoughts to be difficult to live with, and it is causing my actions to be very manipulative. Because like I said, anybody got control issues? Hello, right? Of course you have control issues. How can you not have control issues? You have these disturbances inside. Your mind is intelligent enough to have figured out for you how everybody and everything needs to be for you to be okay. And therefore, you have to manipulate and control the weather, even though you can't. You complain about it enough. You have to control the weather, the driver in front of you, your husband, your wife, your children. Your every single thing has to be controlled, right? Yet it doesn't work very well, does it? One, the world doesn't like you manipulating it. No one likes to be manipulated, but you have no choice. Because you know darn well the world's not going to just all of a sudden line up the way you need it to be for you to be okay, is it? It never has, it never will for anybody. So you then think, I must use my will to manipulate this. That is buying into the samskaras, and I don't need to tell you what a mess it creates, because at this point, most people smiling are shaking their head, yep, it's been a mess. It's been difficult, it's been hard, all right? So what do? You change your attitude. Your entire attitude becomes, the way I can achieve what I want, don't give up what you want. I want to be happy. I want to be filled with love. I want to feel joy and enthusiasm all the time. That's what I want. Okay, that's what you always wanted. But now I understand that the only way I can have that is to let go of this garbage that I've collected inside of me. There is no reason to have it inside of me. It is not doing me one single iota of good. Don't tell me that hating your ex-husband for 10 years because of what he or she, whatever it is, did, right, is somehow in helping your life. It's real important I don't forget the way he treated me. No, it's real important that you do forget the way he treated you. Otherwise, it's continuing to treat you that way for the rest of your life. Do you understand that? That's it. And let me ask you a question. You're all intelligent. How long will that stuff stay in there? A week? 2 weeks? How about your entire life? Is it true that when they go in there with psychology and they study this stuff, that they find out these, what were they called? Oh, yeah, formative years. You know, what was that? You know, 4 to 8 or something like that, right? That stuff is the foundation of your entire personality. That determines what you like and what you don't like and who you're attracted to, who you're not attracted to. It's exactly what I just taught you, isn't it? Right? But they don't say it as though you can do something about it. They just say, it's in there, baby. You better learn to cope with it, right? That is not true. I am looking you right in the eye. That is the biggest misunderstanding at all. There is nothing holding anything inside of you except you. You're the only one in there, aren't you? Right? I always say it's a single occupancy apartment. There's nobody else in there. Your kids aren't in there. Your wife's not in there. Your husband's not in there. Nobody else is in there. You're in there. It can be any way you want it to be. Out here, can it be any way you want it to be? Of course not. It has to answer to the influences that are causing it to be the way it is. It's got 13.8 billion years of influences. Everybody's influencing out here. So there, it can't be the way you want. In here, there's nobody else in there. That's what's so funny. It's so much harder to work outside, all right? But to work inside, there's no competition. It's just you. But you don't understand. It seems people say, no, my mind's really powerful. No, it's not. Your mind is brilliant, just like a computer is brilliant. But if that computer's showing you things that you shouldn't be looking at and freaking you out all the time with blood and this and that, all right, you went to that website. It didn't do it, okay? It's just an open internet. You can do whatever you want with it. Your mind is clean. It's empty. It's free. You are the one that's holding the stuff in there. You are the one that's focusing on the different impressions that are in there. You are the doer. You are the only doer in there. There is no one else in there. Do not give up your power by saying, my mind is more powerful than me. You made your mind, all right? Yes, if you get it messed up enough, it's hard to deal with it, but you did it, all right? And the same thing with your heart. So now that you've owned it, but this is something you should like to own. Why? I just empowered you. That was a big word in the 80s. People want to be empowered. You are 100% empowered. Nobody, see, surrender. I'm teaching you surrender right now. It didn't take your power away. It's giving you power. You took your power away by giving it up to these impressions. You gave your power away to the event that happened when you were 6 years old that you couldn't handle. You gave your power, your freedom, your right to it. You hear me? Right? You need to take it back. That's what you used to call it. You're going to call it regaining your kingdom. You're the king or queen in there. You're the boss. There's nobody else in there. Don't you dare let it push you around. So, but you can't. Now the question becomes, all right, if I want to work on it, I know I do, how do I do this? All right, let's start off with what you don't do. First, you don't try to limit your joy by manipulating the world around you until it matches what you've decided you need. I hope I've convinced you of that. You will not succeed. It does not work. That is, you know, the best you can do is get it for a moment, and then you'll get tired of it. All right? Or you'll change your mind about what you want. So you put out all that effort, you know, buy a new car, go on, work nights, do all kinds of things. I'm like, fine, I want you to have a new car. You go there, you get the new car. You tell me how long it takes before getting in that car and driving to work feels exactly the same as your old car or house or anything. Right? Okay, you know, usually it's a couple of weeks until everybody's impressed. You took everybody for a ride. Now he's in your car. Oh, there's Mary. There's nothing. It doesn't do anything for you anymore, right? The new smell goes away. You can't even say, oh, it smells new, right? So now it's just your car and you're left with the payments. That's what happens. Things cannot make you okay. So the first thing you don't do is think, I need to manipulate and control the world to get it the way my impressions are telling me I need to get it. So I'll be okay. Second, You don't go in there and say, and a lot of people do this. I did it when I started. That's why I'm here to share with you. I want you to skip the mistakes I made. To sit there and say, my mind is a problem. It's negative. It doesn't shut up. It complains all the time. It finds something wrong with everything, right? The lunch isn't as big as it was last time. It's not exactly the temperature that I want. It's humid outside. Oh my God, it's 90 degrees. I'm sweating. Hey, it's got something to say, doesn't it? All right? The driver in front of me, believe me, I'll keep giving that one, right? Oh my God, you're 5 miles below the speed limit. You're supposed to be 5 miles above. I always drive 5 miles above. They won't stop you from blah, 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 blah. Okay? It's just in there causing me a hard time. It's not a lot of fun. That's what it does. I'm going to shut it up. Anyone who's teaching you mind control, pick up your bags, put on your shoes, and run. Mind control has nothing, nothing to do with spiritual growth. It has nothing to do with this. It is the same as world control. All right, go out there and control the world so that it doesn't bother you. Go out there and control your mind so that you don't have to be so bothered. There is a reason the world is the way it is. I spent a lot of time teaching you that, didn't I? I hope you respect that now, right? There's a reason. The truth of the matter is, and no one likes when I say it, every moment in front of you is perfect. It is the perfect result of every single force that caused it to be that way. Do you understand that? If you took all the inputs from the beginning of time, it would say, wow, that's a miracle. It's exactly right. All right? It's not perfect what I want. It's not perfect morally. It's not perfect any of this stuff, right? It's not optimal necessarily, but it is perfect. Do you understand that? You have to start there to understand it is exactly the way that all the forces would cause it to be, and those forces go back to the beginning of time. Take a breath, okay? I told you, I'm asking you to be open. You can go back to wherever you want, but this is the truth. So it's not about manipulating the world to make it match me, and it is not about fighting with your mind. Do not ever fight with your mind. That's like I'm going to put a knife in two hands, and I'll let my left hand and right hand fight with each other. Guess who loses? Me. You can't win with fighting with yourself. Do you understand that? You're a loser. So you don't try to manipulate and control the mind. What you try to do, and I'm teaching you how to do it, the whole course, you'll see the whole course taught you how to do it. You just didn't know it, right? Which is, why is the mind saying what it's saying? That's where you work. The Buddhists talk about working at the root. That's what that means. You don't work at the branches and the leaves. You work at the root. So we start off and we say, and fortunately, if I ask you, why is the mind saying what it's saying? You now know the answer. I spent sessions teaching you that. The mind is saying what it's saying because I stored a bunch of junk down there. And it is interpreting what's happening and relating it to the garbage I stored. So it's saying, I like this, I don't like that. How would you know what you like? Right, you understand that? Do you want to go to Mexico? I swear to God, if I could trace back your no or your yes, it will be based on your past experiences. How would you know you've never been to Mexico? You understand that? But you don't say that. Right? You say, oh, I had a maid from Mexico once when I was little, she was so beautiful. Yes, I'd love to go. What are you doing? It's a one person. There's a lot of people in Mexico. A lot of things going on. But you are going to relate it to your past experience. You understand that? And I hope I've convinced you your past experience is nothing. It's nothing. So basically, there is a reason your mind is saying what it's saying. That's where we need to work. If you want to get clarity, if you want to enjoy the experiences you're having, you can't be basing it all on what your mind is saying. So basically, your real part, I'll go to the root to start with, is you have these some scars stored in there. You have these patterns stored in there. You gotta let them go. All of spiritual growth, all of spiritual growth is about letting go. It is not about getting anything. It's not about going to the Himalayas and meeting great masters, right? And you see, I got lots of masters behind me, all right? It's not. It's about letting go. If you could let go of what you have stored in there, right, you will get higher faster than if you sat in the presence of the higher master that ever lived and didn't let go. Okay? Do both, that's wonderful, right? But basically, you have to let these things go. You can't keep those in there, right? If you keep them in there, they're going to run your life, period. Like, look, go, people move into ashrams and have the same melodramas. It's so funny. Have the same melodramas sitting in the presence of really great masters, great beings. I'm not judging the teachers, right? But they just got the same junk going on inside. I want to be the person who's closest to him. Why'd you give him the water? I want to be the one that gives him the water. Why is he paying more attention to her instead of me? Same garbage. Same garbage. And you got a nicer place to stay. How long do I have to get before I get a nicer place? I promise you, it's going on in every ashram that exists, right? It's unbelievable. You're not going to go where you want to go unless you let go of yourself. Who said that before me? You must die to be reborn. You must die to be reborn. That is the highest teaching there is, and that is Christ's path. That's what he taught. He didn't really teach all this other stuff they're doing, right? He said, you must die to be reborn. This is what that means. You must let go of who you think you are in order to become who you are. So how does one do that? Let's talk about real spiritual techniques. We were talking about a car driving in front of you, slower. I'm telling you, if you will listen to me, this very act will make up for 6 hours of meditation, of not meditation. I like meditation. I meditated a lot. I used to meditate a lot, right? I'm not. It's good. It's a real good thing. I'll show you where it fits. Right? But it's not going to take you there. This is going to take you there. So I'm driving behind this car. They're driving slow. My mind is noticing and causing me a hard time. Okay? Answer me a question. What good is that? What good is that doing that your mind is causing you that aggravation while you spend the 5 or 10 minutes driving behind this car till you can pass or they leave? Right? The answer is zero. You're getting aggravated, you're getting uptight, you're not enjoying your drive, you're being negative about the person in front of you. God knows what the heck you're saying, all right? And I'm telling you, if that person's driving a certain kind of car in a certain color, 3 weeks from now, when you're driving and you see a car that looks similar, you will get a bad feeling and you will try to avoid it. So it's not just in that moment that you've created a problem. You stored a negative experience, mazel tov. You stored another negative experience inside of you. It actually became a samskara. Do you understand that? You may go to work all day and telling people what an idiot was driving in front of me. You may drive by and see that the person is of a certain age or a certain gender or a certain nationality and start to develop a prejudice. I'm serious. Do you understand that? You start to get a negativity about somebody that age of that gender. Yes or no? Am I exaggerating? I'm asking, am I exaggerating? No, I'm not. You just made the situation make you worse. Not only ruined your day, it put another blockage in there that is going to influence your decision-making and the quality of your life. That is dumb, isn't it? I almost said stupid, but I don't want to call you stupid, right? That was just dumb. There was no benefit to this, and you just have this total cost. How about we don't do that? What do you mean? How about we use the moment when we're driving behind this person as a learning experience, as a trial, as a testing, all right, that I am going to use this experience to not do this, all right? I'm going to use this experience to let go of whatever is inside of me that's causing my mind to think like that. OMG. You mean I'm going to work on myself during this everyday moment? I'm not meditating. It's not yoga. It's not church. Right? During this everyday normal moment, I am going to choose to use it to go to God. I'm going to choose it to let go of myself and raise myself and become a wholer person and come closer to the joy and the love that I want to experience. All right? How do you do that? If your intent is to work on yourself, I respect that. If that's what you're doing, right? Be it turning mala beads, saying Hare Krishna, be it, positive thinking, be it whatever it is, whatever techniques you are using, that the intention is to work on yourself, I pranam to you. I respect that. That's beautiful. You may find that other things work along the way. That's fine, right? I don't need to give you techniques. You're in there. If you understand these teachings, you realize I do not want this stuff inside of me. This is ruining my life. All right? So I need to work on getting rid of it. So one technique is called positive thinking. You're going to used to teach every time you have a negative thought, replace it with a positive one. My attitude back in the 70s was, I'd be busy full time. I couldn't do anything else. But really, you can sit there when you're driving, and I still do it some, I play with it some, is you're driving, your mind's giving you a hard time, right? And I told you, there's two types of thoughts that are created, those that you create willfully, and those that happen automatically. So all those thoughts about the person driving in front of you, those are automatic. You're not doing that purposely, all right? Start doing something purposely. Just sit there. This is not what I'm teaching you, but I'm giving you this room. I'll give you the deep teaching in a minute, all right? The one that I use that worked for me is you sit there when you're driving and start saying, wow, what an opportunity to relax. I can't be in a rush because the person in front of me will let me, okay? I guess I'm being told to start watching my breath, calm down, and enjoy, smell the roses. That's what's happening. I'm going to be there anyways. Might as well enjoy the experience. You're welcome to do that. That is you saying, not fighting with your mind. You're not pushing away the negative things. You're replacing it because they don't both go on at the same time. If you're creating thoughts, all right, that will fall into the background. That's a very healthy thing to do. You have applied your will to at least offset or neutralize the effect of these samskaras. Over time, you may help develop the habit of the mind being a little bit more positive, all right? The other technique, which is very deep, and you can do it, and it works better than anything else, it's called witness consciousness. I know others have taught that. You know what that is. Let's talk about how you would do that. I is not something you do with your mind. It's not the same as positive thinking. I'm noticing this. I'm witnessing. No, that's just you creating thoughts in your mind instead of the other ones. Witness consciousness is, I notice instantly that this garbage is going on inside my mind. I don't need to interact with it. I don't need to do anything. I need to be the one who notices that that is going on. In order to do that, it can't be bothering you that it's going on. If it bothers you that it's going on, either you're, yeah, I really am upset, or why is this junk going inside? I should have grown more than that. Anything it's doing that is bothering you will create more thoughts because, in a sense, you become disturbed. You became disturbed about being disturbed. That's how most spiritual people get, right? I wish I was spiritual, right? And they get down on themselves. It's called spiritual ego. They get down on themselves for not being higher than they are. Why am I still bothering myself about the car? Mickey talked about the car, and here it is going on. Oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. That's garbage. Oh, I hope you skip that step, all right? Just notice that you're not it. Notice I am aware, and this is what I'm aware of. I am aware. This is what I'm aware of. And then, are you ready? You want to do something about it. It's uncomfortable, so you want to do something about it. Here's what you do. Relax. And I'm telling you, the first time you hear me say that, you think, hey, what are you talking about? You're crazy. That neurotic thing inside my head is not going to relax. I didn't tell it to relax. I told you to relax. So you just notice, I'm noticing that, and I'm getting uptight about it. It's uncomfortable to me. It's okay. I notice it's uncomfortable. You're back here, okay? You're back here if you're watching down there. It's just a natural place, right? Back inside. And you just relax. Just don't think about it. Don't do anything. Just the minute you see it, if you want to let something go, you relax. You relax your shoulders, relax your tummy, relax your buttocks, and more importantly, relax your heart. The heart won't relax, but the area around your heart will relax. Do you understand that? You have power in there. You have willpower. What you do with your will is release. Is relax. If you will relax around those thought patterns, I am telling you, you don't realize it, you are relaxing those samskaras. You are giving them more room to be able to release because you're not on top of them, right? You're not letting them express themselves and getting into the mind and feeding them. What you're doing is creating distance, separation between the seat of self, subject, and what you are experiencing, which is the noisy mind at that moment, the object. I need distance between those two. That's what all of spirituality is about. It's not about changing what you're looking at. It's about not getting sucked into what you're looking at. It's being detached, if you will, or feeling at peace, serene, about the change that is happening that you're looking at. When you are comfortable with everything that can come from your mind, it will stop. You don't know that. And I don't want you to do it for that reason. People often ask me, well, let's say I'm comfortable. Will the mind still talk? The mind is talking because you're not okay. Half of what the mind is doing is trying to figure out how to be okay, how to get what you want, how to not get. But when you're okay, there's nothing to talk about. I swear to God. When you're in the presence of someone you love, you're not thinking about how to find love, are you? Right? You're just experiencing the beauty of the love. If you will let go, that's what this is called, letting go, surrendering. That's surrendering. When I relax, I am surrendering to the reality of what's happening. The person in front of me is driving slow. That's the reality of the moment. Believe me, there are reasons. You could trace them all the way back why that person is driving like that, okay? Right? And my mind is reacting. Well, my father's mind used to react. This happened, all kinds of, you know, whatever. I was in a real rush once. I was late for work. They fired me. I got all kinds of reasons I react. Yeah, I'll bet. They ain't good ones. Okay? So I got this stuff in here. So my mind is releasing those energies. What do I do? Don't get involved. Just relax and release and say to the mind, do what you need to do. Heart, do what you need to do. Just relax, relax. That's the highest thing you can do. If you need in-between steps, by all means, absolutely. Okay? But understand when it's said and done, letting go is the highest spiritual path that there is. And letting go is surrender. I am surrendering to the reality of the moment. I'm in here. That's going on in there. Okay. I can handle it. I can dig it. That's what it is right now. That doesn't affect me. I'm just noticing it. And first you relax, then you lean away. You're actually in there. You're at a distance from the object. The subject is lean away from the noise. The mind is making noise. Fine. Mind needs to make noise. Fine. I'm okay with that. I relax and lean away from the noise. When you lean away from the noise, you are creating distance between you, consciousness, and the object that's the mind that's going on there. In that distance, the samskaras have room to release their energy, right? Well, what if I relax and release and it starts to get uncomfortable? Oh my God, that's wonderful. Why? The discomfort you are experiencing is the discomfort that is stored in the samskara. You prove that you have left room. There are people that they're driving behind somebody. This is extreme, but it happens. They're driving behind somebody. They do this technique. They write me all the time. And they start to relax. And within a couple of minutes, they start crying. Just crying and remembering something they hadn't thought about for... Yes! It's beyond therapy. What you have done is said, I am not going to push stuff down anymore. Even this person in front of me. I'm not going to resist that. It seems like a trite thing. Try it. You won't be able to, right? It's like if I can't release and accept and honor that that person in front of me has the right to drive the way they want, which happens not to be the way I want, okay? If I can't honor and respect that it took 13.8 billion years for that person to get there and me to get there, okay, then there's no way I'm going to honor and respect the right for these samskaras to release their energy and go out. So you're actually doing your scales in the piano when you do this, I call this low-hanging fruit. There are lots of different experiences that we have in life that we can work with. The low-hanging fruit is the one that is 100% cost and zero benefit. That cannot be hard to let go of, all right? There's no downside. So there's terrible, right? Terrible things happen if you don't. So why not let it go? You'll find out that you can't do it because you're in the habit of struggling with everything. You're in the habit of insisting and demanding that things should be the way you want, all right? But I hope I've convinced you that you're wrong. Things are the way they are to start with. The reality is there. Person is driving the way they are. So you start to change your reaction, your action, your relationship to yourself and to everything else. But don't do it with these big things. What do I do if my husband just left me? You know, the starters, well, you know, come back. In a while, we'll start with something smaller. Right? Don't sit there and wait till you're freaking out to sit there and say, I need some help. You need help all the time. Do you understand that? So you start with these practices of the everyday experiences of life. So one of them is the experience of the person driving in front of you. And I'm serious. I want you to do that. That's your homework. Okay? I want you to sit there and say that people drive different ways and you don't get to say what they are. Do you? Okay? And if something inside of you is upset about it, you might want to let that go. Because if you can't handle how people drive, you can't handle people. Because that's just one little example, right? Now I'm going to give you another one. You ready? You said you wanted techniques. You just don't call these techniques. These are the techniques, all right? Ready for the next low-hanging fruit? the weather. What? What's that got to do with spirituality? Everything. There's always weather. Hot, cold, windy, dry, humid, curly hair, whatever it is. There's always weather out there. Have you noticed that? Okay. It has nothing to do with you. What's the matter with you? The weather has to do with the weather. If you can't handle the weather, how are you going to handle anything? You understand that? How will you handle the different situations that unfold in life that are a lot closer than the weather? So the weather, again, is a 100% cost, zero benefit to complain about the weather. What do you get complaining about the weather? Nothing. I get upset. It ruins my day. It was so hot today. I couldn't handle it. It was terrible. I was sweating. I hated it. Okay, I guess you didn't have a nice day because it didn't change the weather. Is it making sense to you? Do you understand this? So you start to work with yourself. When she or he starts complaining about the weather, don't fight with it. If you want to use affirmation, you're welcome to. I do. I still do some of that, right? I'm sitting there and he starts, it's hot. I'm in Florida, right? Florida, it gets hot. I'm hot. You know what I say to him? I say, how'd you get hot? What does it mean hot? And I realize that there's a star 93 million miles away that is so hot that I'm hot because of that star. That star shine, I'm so close to a star that I can feel its heat. Wow, that's neat. There. It feels a lot better than complaining about the heat, doesn't it? Right? You start to appreciate and respect. Use your mind for something positive and constructive, right? That's using my higher mind to offset my lower mind. I'm raising myself. But ultimately, what you do is you relax and release. You just relax and release. And guess what? If you actually relax and release, it won't be hot. Why? You can't get hot. You can only experience hot. You're way back in there. You don't even live down here. You understand? You don't live in Florida. You're not even on this plane. You're way back in there. So there's no heat in there, okay? And you're just experiencing the message of heat coming back. If you will relax and release back into your seat of consciousness, which again, if I told somebody relax back into the self, they wouldn't know what to do, all right? They don't even know what it is. But if I tell you relax away from the part of you that's complaining, that I understand. There is a part in front of me complaining. If I relax and lean away from where the noise is coming from, actually you're leaning back into the self. That is literally two things happen when you do that. One, you get a distance and you stop suppressing and fighting with the causes of your mind. You relax, give them room to release. And two, you are actually relaxing back into the seat of self. And you will grow fast so spiritually. If you will do that with the weather, if you will do that with the car in front of you, if you will do that with all these different situations that right now I'm saying low-hanging fruit, there's no cost at doing this. If you get into, how do I measure? How do I know it's low-hanging fruit? If letting go solves the problem and leaves nothing to work with, right? If you accept the weather, there's nothing else to do, right? If you accept this person driving in front of you the way they are, which you have no choice, there's nothing else to do. Now, if somebody comes up to you and tells you you better go do something and it upsets you, I still want you to relax and release, but now you got some work to do. You understand that? There's still something left. I'm telling you, I won't even guess at a percentage, a very high percentage, you're just causing yourself trouble. The only reason there's a problem is you said so. Did you understand that? You're literally defining what is unfolding as a problem. And then you're trying to solve it. I hope you got that, all right? You are the problem. You can't solve it outside by doing anything. So you come back into a situation of disciplining yourself to say, if I'm claiming I'm on a spiritual path, let me be on a spiritual path. It's 24/7. It is not what you do on your weekends. It is not that. It's literally 24/7 for the rest of your life, period. You eat, you go to the bathroom, you breathe, your heart beats, you do all kinds of things, all right, for the rest of your life. This one's more important. This one's really, really important. It will determine the quality of your life. And so what you're going to see is as you relax through these things, and I'm telling you, you really do it, just relax. It doesn't take time. You can still go to work, you can still be married. It has nothing to do with that. In fact, it's fine. All the different situations you're in are going to bring to you opportunities to bother you. Have you noticed? right? All of a sudden, you just entered a win-win situation. If something doesn't bother you, that's nice. If something does bother you, it's wonderful. It's an opportunity to grow. So now, no matter what is happening, you're in there working, enjoying, getting closer to God, growing yourself, expanding yourself. It all becomes a positive experience at some level, right? It's just like if you play a sport. Fine, if you're winning and you're better than the other team, that's wonderful. If the other team is better than you, every single play, you're learning something. You understand that? You're becoming better at the sport. There, that's a wonderful attitude. You're not losing, right? You win either way. Right now, we're set up in a lose-lose situation. No matter what happens, we lose. That's why we have so much trouble, right? Once in a while, something goes the way we want, but then it fades. If you do this, I'm serious, and get serious about it. About what? My life is devoted to letting go of this garbage I built inside of me. So that if it takes just one moment and one breath, I want to be able to breathe what it's like to be me, right? And you're not going to find you out there. You're not going to find you in your mind. It is you who's relaxing and releasing. Then the next thing that you do, all right, is sit there and say, I ain't putting any more in here. It's bad enough I got all these in here. But if something happens in life and I see resistance inside, I am going to take the time to let go. I don't care how big it is or how small it is, right? I'm gonna, if somebody says to me, they're talking to me and I don't like what they said, the mind starts going, the first thing I do is remember, if I resist this, it's staying in there. It takes 1 second for it to get in, and it could take 10 years for you to get it out. Do you understand that, right? Okay, get wise now. If you want to grow spiritually, you can. It does not cost money. It does not take time. It has nothing to do with your status in life, or your age, or anything. It has to do with your attitude about what is the purpose of your life. So you have now set the purpose of your life to exploring the depth of your being. Well, that's what spirituality is, right? And it isn't like you have to wait till the end. You know, they say when you die, you'll go to heaven. No, that stuff, right? You constantly grow. I die daily, St. Paul said, okay? You're constantly growing. You're constantly releasing parts of your being, and you will become higher and higher and happier, and things that used to bother you, you will come to a point, if you let go enough times, that the driver in front of you will not bother you the way they're driving, right? In fact, you start to have fun with it. 5-10 miles an hour below the speed limit? Try 20! It's a world limit! Come on, this is fun! Right? You can have fun with things. You're the only one in there, right? You decide the quality of your life. Wake up! And then you get down to what I really want you to pay attention to. That is, and this, again, I swear to you, it doesn't sound any serious now, stronger. This doesn't sound like it's low-hanging fruit. And you will complain when I say this, but this still falls under 100% cost, zero benefit. What? Your past. Anything that's bothering you because it happened before and is not happening now, you tell me the benefit of that. It's over. It's not happening, right? So there's zero benefit and 100% cost. It's bothering you. You're driving down the street, you remember something happened 8 years ago. Happens, doesn't it? Right? You see a billboard, it reminds you of something. I'm not saying it shouldn't happen. It does happen. You got to be with reality, right? Here it comes. What is the benefit of that? You just ruined your day. There's zero benefit and 100% cost. Your entire past garbage that you have in there that's bothering you is of no benefit to you. Don't you sit there and tell me, oh, I don't want to go through it again, so I need to remember how bad it was. If you will let it in and touch your soul, it will change your being. It becomes part of you. You will now know how to deal with it. If you touch a stove when you're little, you don't have to keep in the front of your mind, stoves are bad, stoves are hot, they hurt. I would never own a stove. No way, I cook off microwaves. That'll be good for you, right? So it's like you just basically have, your whole life is ruined because you kept it in your mind. You know darn well that you don't touch stoves anymore. Why? Because you learned. You didn't memorize. You understand that? You learned. It's so hard for people to understand the difference. It's one way I teach it. At this moment, just for a moment, look at what's in front of you. Just look. Now, nothing particular. Just look at the scene that's in front of you. How hard was that to see it? Nothing. I just saw it. Okay? Fine. Now I'm going to call on the phone and I get the finest sketch artist that ever existed up in New York on the phone. When it's done, I want that person to have drawn what you saw exactly. How long will it take? OMG. I'm talking about every shade, color differential on the wood. Do you understand how much you took in just by seeing, just consciousness saw versus what it would take to describe that with your mind? That's what I'm telling you. When you have an experience and it comes in and touches consciousness, it's a real experience. You will not forget it, but I put forget in quotes because I don't want you to think mind is about remembering. You will know it. How's that? You will know it because the same as you, the sketch artist said, how long did it take you to see it? Well, a second. How'd you do that? Oh my God, you're a better artist than I am. No, consciousness is direct. It comes in directly. And then it's a full experience. There's nothing fuller than the richness of an experience itself. So these events that happened were meant to come in and pass through. If you hold them in your mental plane and your mental body, you're going to make a complete mess. So your past doesn't need to be in there like that. And if it is bothering you, and you know it is, right? How much do you have incidences of things in your past that you just soon not remember, have nothing to do with? They bother you when they come up. They're uncomfortable, right? There's all kinds of garbage in there. I didn't do this whole course for nothing, right? They wake up. I'm telling you, it does not need to be in there. There is no benefit of having it in there, and you are better off without it in there. And I mean way better off without it in there. In fact, the essence of all of spirituality is that you not have that stuff inside of there. That be gone, all right? Because what's going to happen after that, we'll discuss next, is pure spirit. That's all that's left. What's left when the garbage is gone is the most beautiful thing that could ever exist. So how do you let go of the past? Gulp, right? All right? It will come up. I like when people ask me, well, I have so much in here. How do I know which one to let go of? The one that's coming up. There's no game here. It's very simple, right? Things make stuff come up, don't they? Let it come up. That's all. That's the end of the teaching. That's the entire teaching, right? Things are going to happen in your life to hit your stuff by definition, because you have stuff, right? It's the Rorschach test, right? Because you're seeing it in relation to your stuff, it's going to hit your stuff. Everybody understand that? Everybody says, oh, the world is like a perfect fit for my growth. It is, but not for the reason you think it is. It's perfect fit for everyone's growth, right? Because everyone's looking through their stuff, right? Therefore, they see it in a way that hits their stuff. Therefore, it's perfect for you. Anybody listening? Okay. The truth is there's nothing out there. Scientists have told you that. But you see what you need to see. So basically, this stuff comes in and it hits and it starts to get uncomfortable. You feel a disturbance in the force. My suggestion is that you don't wait until it manifests and talks a whole lot in your mind. The truth of the matter is, you don't have to be psychic. Every one of you know when you're getting upset before you're upset. Do you understand that? You feel it. You feel when something starts to bother you. That's where you work. This is work. You work on yourself. But my God, you're going to make a beautiful place to live. It's more important than your marriage. It is. It's more important than your children. It's more important than your job. This is you. You're working on yourself directly. Then you can have a wonderful marriage and wonderful children, a wonderful job. But not while you got this mess in there and you're trying to use them to make you okay. All right? So you basically in there, the stuff starts to come up. The second, and I mean the millisecond, that you feel that change, relax. But I don't even know what it is. I don't want you to know what it is. You don't have to know what it is to let it go. How's that? All right? Yoga's way deeper than psychology. It goes much deeper. There's stuff in there. It doesn't want to be in there. It wants to come up. It wants to release. And that's what surrender is. Surrender is the act of letting go. So instead of fighting it, instead of pushing it away, but it's not comfortable. It wasn't comfortable when it happened. That's why you pushed it away. Do you understand that? You're going to do the same thing? Let it be down there for another 10 years? Because that's what's going to happen. Right? Who knows how long it'll be before that samskara gets hit again and starts coming up. So you take a serious attitude that the purpose of my life is what we're talking about. The purpose of my life is to let go of this stuff I've stored in me that is keeping me from the depth of my being, that is keeping me from God, that is keeping me from having a beautiful life of excitement and joy, because it is. So the same effort you would put into a relationship that you'd put into money, you, oh my God, you work so hard at that. It doesn't get you what you want. There's nothing wrong with it, right? I keep telling you, it is not about renunciation. It's about purification. It's about releasing inside yourself. But you have to be willing to do the work. And it's not going to be comfortable. There, I said it. Right in the camera. It's not going to be comfortable. Why is it not going to be comfortable? Because it was stored with pain. It's going to come up with pain. By definition, when it happened, you had trouble with it. Right? So therefore, what's going to come up is that sense of trouble. The question is, have you evolved? Have you grown? Has your meditation done anything for you? Has your marriage done anything for you? Has any of these different situations that were supposed to make you a wholer person actually done it? Because if it is, and you're still pushing away what happened 10 years ago, I'm telling you, it didn't help you. You need to get to the point where you've grown enough inside to where you say, it's worth it. It's okay. It'll pass. It's fine. It'll pass. And football players play with broken fingers, all kinds of stuff. Like, you know, athletes. Look what athletes go through. Wait a minute. Look what athletes go through in the Olympics. For years, they put themselves through hell to win a gold medal. Come on, give me a break. What are you doing? Hanging on a wall? Then they go fight with everybody. It's like, you know what I'm talking about, right? You're talking about putting out a fraction of the effort. I love you to put out the same effort. But put a fraction of the effort on a regular basis to win everything. To win what they feel when they get the gold medal. I hope. All right? Do you understand that? You're talking about learning to be open all the time. You're talking about learning to not have stuff inside so that when the world unfolds, you appreciate it, you love it, you participate in it. It's a beautiful situation. It cannot happen while that stuff is in there. So your past, it's a very important thing. How do I know if I'm there? One, it's not coming up and bothering you. Two, I want you, it's your homework, but it's really your life work, to be able to look back at your past and say thank you. Period. I don't care what it was. I don't care what it is. I told you, at every moment, there are billions and trillions of things going on in the universe. But you're only having one. You only see one. Like, God, how can you not appreciate the one you got to see? Right? You just start saying thank you. I came down to earth. And this was the experience, these experiences that came to me. That's what your life is. The sequence of experiences that you got to experience. How can you not like your past? I want you to love your past. I want you to embrace your past. I want you to let go of any sense you have that there was anything wrong with your past. Right? It was your past. It's sacred. It's beautiful. It's yours. Nobody else ever had it or ever will. Embrace it. Hug it. Kiss it. Right? So, In the religions, we talk about forgiveness, all right? I always play a game with people and say, well, just like I said, hope and dreams are not so spiritual. Forgiveness is not so spiritual. Why? Because it means you already judged. The fact that you have to forgive somebody means you got a problem about it. Do you understand that? But it is a good thing to do, all right? It's a very good thing to do. But I want you to do more than forgive them. I want you to let go of the reason why you had to forgive them, which was your pain, your suffering, your scar. Do you understand that? That's what I had to do. Somebody hurt me a long time ago. I need to forgive them. Well, certainly if you don't forgive them, you'll never let it go. But forgiving them alone did not get rid of that scar. It just stopped you from being so heavy about it, right? You need to sit there and say, if I got that stuck in me, that's my problem. Yes, that person did something that wasn't appropriate, but that was 10 years ago. I want you to own that the fact that it stayed in there for 10 years, you did, all right? So you need to accept, honor, respect, surrender to the reality. You know that your past now falls in the category of reality? You ain't changing it. Do you understand that? It is what happened. How can you not accept it? How can you not honor it? How can you not surrender to the reality that this is your past? But I didn't want it to be. Oh, come on, are you a two-year-old baby throwing a tantrum, right? It is the reality of what happened. And if you understand that every single moment in your past took 13.8 billion years to get there, and you're the only one that had the experience, you start to have a different attitude about your past, don't you? I told you, this is not about some external thing or some practice. It's about changing your attitude, how you're looking at things. I want you to look at your past that way. I know you're cringing because you think there are things people did in your past that were wrong and it hurt you and they should pay for them, right? Give me a break. You're paying for them. You're paying for them by keeping them inside of you. Your food doesn't taste as good because you did that. You can't love your spouse as much because you're doing that. Do you understand that? You are blocking your chi flow. You are blocking your energy flow. You go to as many retreats as you want and keep that junk inside of you, right? You ain't doing squat. It just makes it a little bit more comfortable. I had a nice experience, but, right? Even so, I don't even spiritual experiences. I have no interest, none, nothing. Go have a meditation, have some deep experience. If you're coming back to me and want to talk to me about the experience you had, I'm not interested. I'm interested in your state of being. Your state of being. That's what we're talking about, isn't it? Changing your state of being. That's beyond an experience, all right? It's permanent. So basically, if you will let this stuff go from your past, just sit yourself down. It's not easy. Nobody said it was easy. What do they say in working out? No pain, no gain, right? Sports, anything. This is the most important thing you will ever do in your life. Why would you not give yourself that gift? I'm telling you, you'll have no more moods. You'll be high all the time. You'll be, oh my God, it's all fun. It's all exciting, right? So basically, this is a big one with a pencil. Yes, your everyday little experiences that have no cost, deal with them. Don't put more stuff in. And I'm telling you, when you have the honor, the gift that your past starts coming up and is bothering you, wake up right then. Wake up. Say, thank you. This is important. I don't care how small it is. It's important. Understand that? If it came up, what does that mean? It's in there. Do you understand that? It didn't come out of nowhere. Didn't come up in me. Yours didn't come up in me. We both saw the same thing. You understand that? If it came up, it's in there. Therefore, it matters. Do not belittle any of it. And you start this technique, this practice of releasing. Relax and release. I call it R&R, right? You need some R&R. Just relax and release every single time. The minute you feel it, just relax, lean away, and that's it. That's your only job. But what if it comes back? That's none of your business. Do it again. What if it comes back? Do it again. What if it comes up and it's, how long is it going to stay? None of your business. Are you hearing me? I'm talking serious to you. You know, no one wants to hear me talk like this, right? This is your spiritual path. This is the true path. This is devoting your life to what matters. But I didn't say devote your life to some image of God and I should do to go to heaven. You told me you want to feel happy all the time. You want to feel joy. You can't with that garbage in there. So this is actually devoting your life to exactly what you want, not I'm telling you you should want. So you relax through your past. There is no way that if you are willing to relax, instead of getting all uptight about it and feeding it, it's not going to get looser. Do you understand that? And eventually, my favorite time is when people come to me and say, you know, I thought I was working with myself and I was looking for some experiences and big shifts, but something happened yesterday that an event happened that happened a couple of years ago and really, really upset me. And it wasn't until later I looked back and noticed I didn't even realize it happened. It didn't upset me at all. There wasn't a single thing that happened inside of me. I had to remember that they used to bother me. OMG, now we're talking. You understand that? I have transformed myself by letting go of a part of myself. And that is what you're doing with every single time you let go of your past. It doesn't take other people, right? You don't have to run around saying you're sorry to something that happened 20 years ago. If you need to do that, do that. I said, anything that helps you. People say to me, what about therapy? I'm in therapy. Good, great, if therapy's helping you. Just be conscious about what you're doing. You understand that? Why you're doing it, whatever it is. But your highest understanding in the end, my obligation is to teach you the highest there is to learn. The highest is you are the self. That stuff has nothing to do with you. It was dumb to store it inside of you. Let it go. There. That's the entire spiritual path. All right? Sometimes people say to me, I'm not sure I understand all this about the past. So I have this analogy that I like. Okay? A little example. Every once in a while, when we're driving around, we smell something that doesn't smell so good. Or we are somewhere. It's a skunk or a sulfur. Or, you know, it's a bad smell. Okay? Restaurant, something burned. All right? What if every single time you smelled a bad smell, you took out a little vial and you captured it, right? And you took it home and you dumped it into your house, right? Because you don't want to forget. I need to remember how bad that was. That's what you do about your husband, your ex-husband, right? I need to remember how bad that smell was. Otherwise, I'll forget, not know how bad it was, right? So you sit there and dump it and you take all these smells and you go, oh my God, I think you're ruining your life. with something that was transient, that's what you're doing. As silly, almost said stupid again, as silly as that seems to do something like that, I swear to God, it is what you're doing. You are taking events that were uncomfortable to you from the past, and you're taking them home and storing them inside of you, in your energy system, in the most sacred place inside of you, so that you can smell them all the time, or you do smell them all the time, in the name of what? In the name of what? Of what good is that? Nothing. If you will work with the everyday moments that have no benefit and just cost, what I call the low-hanging fruit, and you will work with letting go of the past when it comes up. You don't have to search it. Believe me, it's going to come up. You understand that? All your job is, that your mission, should you choose to accept it, is if it comes up, I'm not pushing it back down. How do I handle it? By keeping your hands to yourself. You don't handle it, right? It's exactly, I have this magic way people talk about stop smoking. They say it's difficult to stop smoking. I say, no, there's this magic yogic way. I'm serious. That makes it so it's not difficult to stop smoking. If you've decided to stop smoking, what you will find is at any given moment, you're going to feel an urge to smoke. That's just reality. You know, you have a habit, right? You're going to have to break a habit. If you break a habit, you don't just say, I don't want to smoke, right? It sounds good once, all right? But then at some point, you're going to feel this urge to smoke. So in order to smoke, what you need to do, you need to find where you hid the cigarettes, even though you claimed there wasn't any. You have to find where you hid the cigarettes. You have to open the pack. You have to take a cigarette out. You have to somehow get it into that hole in your face, you know, not in your eye, but into the hole in your face. Then you have to light the thing without setting yourself on fire. Then you have to inhale, okay? Just don't do one of those things and you'll stop smoking forever, right? That's why if you sit there and tell me I can't stop smoking, that is ridiculous, right? You're the one who's doing it. I understand if I say pick up Mount Everest or press 500 pounds, you may not be able to do it. But you can't not be able to do something that you're the one who's doing it, or not be able to do something, right? Just don't put the cigarette in your mouth. You'll stop smoking, right or wrong. It is exactly the same with this. You're not a baby. You are in there. It is your choice. When this stuff comes up, you're there, right? Either get into it and push it back down and blame people and, all right, and cry again, right? Or relax. Give it room. I want you to consciously be happy to give it room. I want you to get to the place that when the stuff starts coming up, you throw it a party. Oh, hi, right? I used to know my people singing a song. Simon & Garfunkel had a nice song. Hello, darkness, my old friend. Just make it a pleasant experience that you're cleansing. I'm serious, you can. Right? You can make it fun. Nobody said it has to feel good at every level for your heart and so on, right? But you can enjoy the beauty of getting rid of this stuff. My God, people go through chemotherapy to get rid of their cancer. It's really not nice, right? But they go to do it, right? Because, wait, the example I usually give, right? I hear tell, I'll never find out, but I hear tell that giving birth to a baby ain't that much fun. That can be difficult and can hurt a lot. People go back for seconds, thirds, fourths. What's that all about? You want it enough to be willing to go through the pain, don't you? In fact, the pain becomes joy because it reminds you that I'm going to get to have this baby that I want. Do you hear me? Why is this not the birth of your soul? This is the birth of your being. You're going through the process of purification, of releasing. The only reason it hurts is because you stored what hurt you. If you'd let it go to begin with, you wouldn't even think about it now. So at least let it go now. Please, I'm begging you, all right? I care about you. And I want you to understand, this is spiritual growth. Do you see that, all right? What you need to do to get yourself in a position to do it, if the weekend retreats help you, what about meditation, all right? Is meditation a benefit? Of course meditation is a benefit. Why is meditation of a benefit? Because what is going to happen, you'll be very inspired, I hope, by this course, and then you're going to go out there and something's going to come up and an hour, 2 hours, or 3 days will go by and you realize you lost it. What do you mean I lost it? You weren't there. It took over your being. You got completely lost. You were yelling at people. You were complaining. You were crying for a week in your room. And then you came back. Oh, I was supposed to let it go. I can't let it go. That's what they come back and tell me. All right? All right. Meditation helps you practice being there. Right? Why do you think people say, did you do your practices today? It's just practice for what I talked to you about. The real work is every minute of every day, every second, when the natural purification is trying to take place and you're stopping it. All right? So if you meditate, what happens is you sit down. People ask me, I don't teach meditation. Why, everybody does. Come on, you want to meditate, you figure out so many techniques, right? If you don't have a technique and you want me to teach you something simple, it's so simple. You sit down twice a day, preferably at the same time. Why at the same time? Because you have to give it priority over everything else, and the act of doing that proves that it's more important. You do it for your food, you do it for your, you know, girlfriend, you do it for all kinds of stuff. Hear me? This is more important than everything else you ever do. So pick time more. I don't care. They say now 15 minutes. I used to meditate like so much. I don't anymore. All right? But I used to think the more you had to do it a whole lot. I used to think prize 6 hours of meditation and junk like that. All right? Now they say 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at night. I like that. I like that. I swear to God, that's enough. All right? Sit down. Take the time. What do I do? What you're doing during that time is not trying to see blue pearls or have pure spiritual experiences. If you do that, you're going to stop meditating because you'll get disappointed and dejected and blah, blah, blah. You are sitting down for the same reason you sit down to play your scales. If you sit down to practice the piano and expect to be playing Beethoven when you get up, right, you're going to quit the piano, right? You have to sit down and say, the reason I am here is to practice scales. That's all. All right. The reason you have sat down is to learn how to be conscious inside while your mind doesn't shut up or while your heart is hurting you or whatever is going on is fine with me. There is no such thing as a bad meditation. There is no such thing. If somebody comes to me and says, I can't meditate, I say, why? They say, well, I sit down and my mind doesn't shut up. It just keeps talking and talking, touching their feet and pranami. What are you doing that for? You actually know you're not your mind? You actually watched your mind talk for 15 minutes? You don't do that normally. You get all involved in it, okay? Now, there's higher meditations than that, but at least your bottom line is don't set expectations, period. Don't set expectations. I am sitting down because I chose to, because I know I need to be present so that I can work on myself. And this is a time that I don't have the distractions and I can practice being present. That's all. And you'll find out you are present. You just don't like what you're watching. You're always present. You understand that? So what? Okay. If that's one way, then let's get a little more interesting because what happens is the mind, you're addicted to your mind. Let's get that straight. You are more addicted to your mind than drugs. The reason you do drugs is because you want to get out of your mind. All right. That's why people drink and do drugs. You are addicted to every single word your mind says. Okay. That's it. You're used to watching it and lean. It's your guru. You used to listen to every word it says. We need to break that. How do we do that? Not by fighting the mind, but by learning to not listen to it. That's all about consciousness. It's not about object of consciousness. So I need to get my consciousness, my sense of being, needs to be able to withdraw its attention from my mind when it's talking. That's meditation. All right? How do I do that? The easiest way, and this is the way it's always taught, is to pay attention to something else, not to just try to not pay attention to the mind. That's very hard, all right? So they give you your breath. That's the most common meditation. Watch your breath, right? Well, what's so holy about watching your breath? Nothing, except that it's not your mind. Okay, let's get the basics down, right? If I'm sitting there watching my breath, I'm not watching my mind. Good, right? And then you'll be watching your breath a little bit, then you'll be watching your mind. That's what's gonna happen, all right? You will not be able to sit there for 15 minutes and watch your breath. Do you understand that? Good. Good, that shows you how strong your mind is. So your consciousness got distracted by what your mind was saying, right? Therefore, you stopped watching your breath and you started watching your mind. The minute you catch on that you've done that, right? Don't say anything, don't get down on yourself, just start watching your breath again. Because the whole purpose of it is to gain control of your attention so that it becomes yours again. So you have the right to decide what to pay attention to. I'm not going to tell you what to pay attention to. That's your business. Right now, you have no choice. right? You pay attention to whatever your mind says. So if you're sitting there listening to a lecture in college, all of a sudden your mind starts to think about, what am I going to do this weekend? You're not listening to the lecture anymore. You listen to your mind. And it's really hard to not do that, isn't it? All right? So meditation is a practice where you sit down, watch your breath instead of your mind. Okay? There's one more I'll add for you because I like you, right? You're not going to know right away that you stopped watching your breath. You're just lost in your mind, right? Maybe 15 minutes go by, right? So instead of just watching your breath, count your breath. This is the next step. Just count, but don't count to 100. Count to 20. There's a reason for that. Count to 20. One, two, in, out is one, in, out is two. Watch your breath from down here in the abdomen. Just sit there and watch that. Count to 20, and then go back to one. Why? Because if you find that you're at 43, it means you got lost in your mind. Right? Because now I gave you a job that you have to be present to do, don't you? You have to be conscious enough of watching your breath to know I got to 20, now I go back to one. Right? And sometimes people turn mala beads or rosaries or whatever it is. Fine. Those are just ways to help you keep your consciousness on something other than your mind. So meditation is easy. Now, you know, having satori experiences or samadhi is not, okay, but don't worry about that. Just worry about practicing being present. That's what meditation is, practicing being present. I guarantee you that if you will do that on a regular basis, you're going to find that you're there when these shifts happen in your past and when this different stuff happens. Now it's just a question of, are you committed? Are you willing to every single time relax and release, relax and let go? So basically, your spiritual practice happens in your life. Life is your spiritual practice. It is. Life is your spiritual practice. Either it's taking you further away from self or it's bringing you back to self. It is your friend. Everything that happens in life is your friend. Everything that happens is an opportunity to get better at what we're talking about. What happens after we work with a low-hanging fruit? What happens when we can be present? I'm present. People don't understand. Can I be? People once said to me, I understand before I get in a conversation or an argument or whatever it is, right? And afterwards I can come back, but you're not, somebody actually said, but you don't mean that I'm actually there while I'm talking to the person. Of course I mean you're there while you're talking to the person. Of course I mean that every word they're saying and your mind is, motions are doing different things, that you're fully aware of this and you're letting go while it's happening. Yes, I do mean that. Let's get that straight, right? Every second you are there. At first it's hard. Just keep bringing it back and start. The most important thing is that you realize it's the most important thing. Because it's easy to be involved in the most important thing to you. That's why I spent this entire session trying to show you it is the only rational way to live your life. It's not a religious technique or something like that. It's let's wake up and do something meaningful and reasonable. So you constantly let go. Eventually, you will achieve what I call a state, right, of perpetual persistence, persistent, perpetual consciousness, constant consciousness, all right? You're established in the seat of self. What does that mean? You will never, ever leave that seat ever again for the rest of your life. No matter what happens, no matter who dies, no matter who leaves you, no matter what happens, all this stuff can come up. You'll know it did. And you will have the right to decide what to do about it. There'll be this time that you never had before, right? Exactly like in slow motion, where the emotions are having this happening, you're there, time to let go. Just relax. Now, what about the bigger stuff? Because as you let go of the littler stuff, warning sign, skull and crossbones, because the littler stuff isn't there, the bigger stuff will come up all by itself. You start having these intense dreams. You'll be driving on the car and you'll feel emotions. You're crying for no reason. Good. I don't want there to be a reason. I want the reason to be that the Shakti, the Chi, is trying to push up and now it can move that stuff. Because it's not so heavy anymore, and it starts to push it up. She is your best friend. You're going to find out there's an energy flow in there that's helping you, and it pushes it up. What do? You let it go. You just keep letting it go, all right? What if something happens, and it's a bad situation? The house catches fire. My kid did drugs, and I get called down to the principal's office, right? That's not, you know, low-hanging fruit. No, it's not. Let go first. I always use that example. You get a phone call, your kid, you know, 16-year-old kid, some of his locker, all terrible things happen in this world, don't they? Okay? Things happen. What do? Your mind's going to say, how could he do this to me? Oh my God, what did I do wrong? My husband is so mad at me. We're having enough trouble together. Oh my God, this will be the end of my marriage. Why did you do this to me? I gave you everything. What, are you kidding? What has that got to do with your kid's problem? That's your problem. You need to let that go. You're not supposed to be interacting with the world outside based on your garbage inside. So now everything you're going to do from now on, what do the neighbors think? I'm so embarrassed. Oh my, what if they find out? What if it's in the paper? Oh my God. This has nothing to do with the problem at hand, does it? It has to do with the fact that the situation that took place in the world hit your stuff, and now all your secondary reaction went inside, and you're going to deal with that? You're going to make every decision based on what makes you feel better. You hear me? That's sad, isn't it? Sad, I see you agree. That's very sad. What kind of parent are you? What kind of person are you? It goes on all the time that we're in there trying to interact with the world to fix ourselves. No, no, bad dog. What you do is let go of that. You just let go, right? Well, I let go, Mickey, and it's still there. I still need to go down the principle. Good, go down. But go down because it's your dharma. Go down because your son needs help. Go down because the principal needs help. Go down because you're the parent, and it's your responsibility to go down there and see what you can do to help this child and help this situation, not to help yourself and not to avoid your embarrassment or your feelings. So you let go of the personal so that you can interact properly with what's going on in front of you. We'll talk more about that in the next session. Is this all making sense to you? All right? It's the same thing in business. You're in a meeting. They're talking different things. You had an idea. You bring it up. You put it out there. It gets shot down. It's just everybody goes, ah, boo, that's not a good idea, right? Woo, that hurts, right? Of course it does. You have an ego, right? It's going to hit your stuff. So that stuff comes up. Now, for the rest of the meeting, either you don't contribute anything, you just sulk and keep your mouth shut. Well, that's not a very good employee. Or you keep bringing back proof that what you said wasn't so stupid. You don't belong in that meeting. I've literally, and I used to fire people, right? But in the company, I literally had to let people go that were very high level in design meetings because that's what they kept doing. And they were just ruining the meetings, right? It was about them. It was about them proving themselves. It was about them proving that they're smarter than somebody else. No, you can't do that. You can't work like that. It can't be about you. It has to be about what is happening in front of you, dealing with life itself, all right? So basically, this becomes how to work on yourself. Is it clear? I know it's clear. I don't think anybody has any questions. It's just, are you going to do it? Okay? Because you have a choice. Either you work on yourself on a regular basis, and people say to me, sometimes they raise their hand and say, but isn't there some time I should be listening to my personal self? Are you ready? No. There is no time, none, that the garbage inside of you is generating energies and thoughts and emotions that are anything but garbage. They will do nothing but lead you in the wrong direction. There is no time it has ever led you in the right direction. All right? You say, but I want to express myself. Express your higher self. Right? Express the deeper part of your being. That's in harmony with life. Keep letting go. Letting go. The entire path is letting go of yourself. What will happen if I do this? That's session 8. That's what we're up to. That is what we're going to deal with in session 8. We're going to deal with what is life meant to be like, right? What can it be like for every single one of you, period? No matter what has ever happened or what you've ever done, it doesn't matter. If you let it go inside of you, it didn't happen, all right? It's not happening. So I look forward to sharing that session with you. I hope you listen carefully to this. And I hope if I've done my job, you understand, and you're gulping deeply, what it means to live a spiritual life. It means to die to be reborn, just like Christ said. It means to let go of yourself, to transcend your personal self, as Buddha taught, right? It is the essence of all teachings, and it is the truth. And everyone's capable of doing it, right? They just don't want to. I hope throughout this entire course, I've instilled in you the awakening that you do want to. You do want to. This is the meaning of your life. I look forward to meeting you in session 8.